when we get into worship like that, and the soakings, that's really what you did, is you soak. For some of you who don't know, you soak. He can move quickly or he can take his time. That all depends on you. You, the people. God just shows up, and if we don't know it, we're saying, well, God never showed up. No, he's been waiting, but you didn't engage. Tonight you engaged. You heard someone interceding, another one crying, another one screaming, no one yelling. You heard sobs, and then you have people just being still. Different things happen in the presence of the Lord, but it's still God. And here's how you know. How many of you have the same laugh in this room? The same laugh? The same cry? No? Oh, we're different? Oh, we're individual. See, God loves the individuality of who you are. And he comes to you the way you are, in whatever form he needs to come to you. So don't ever rush the presence of God. Don't. Because you'll miss. So it's important that you learn to just bask in his presence. When it's time, you'll feel the lifting. It'll start to come up. And it's okay. Okay. Speak. And there's times he won't let you. And I want to share a scripture with you, and then we'll get out of here before the news. Everybody like, what? The 10 o'clock one. Look, I know this is Halloween week. I'll share a scripture with you. I'm going to start a series. Some of you from back in the day, because I know y'all have all been saved your whole life. I know it. But there's about one or two of y'all that haven't been saved. So I'm going to title this series, The Bouncer That Covers the Doors in Your Life. The bouncer that covers the doors in your life. Pretty cool. You know the bouncers. You know the bouncers that when you walk up and they look at you like, you ain't getting in. Uh-uh. You ain't getting in because you don't look the part. You ain't dressed like the way you're supposed to be dressed. You ain't getting in because the cover charge just went up. Just because you showed up. You know, some of the bouncers, they know you. They don't like you. You ain't getting in. They don't care what you say. You ain't getting in. Go get the manager. You ain't got to see no manager. I'm telling you. Pastor, you talking like you've experienced it. I've experienced it. They ain't like me. I know why. Turn to 1 John 4, please. 1 John 4. I'm going to read this one out of the Amplified. 1 John 4 and verse 18. And when you're there, say amen. All right, some of y'all still looking. Some of y'all still wondering. Some of y'all still summoning y'all. Just like, man, I don't have a Bible. I ain't going to bring one either. 1 John 4 verse 18. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love. Is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. Put your attention, please, where it says, but full grown, complete and perfect love turns fear out of doors. The bouncer that covers the doors in your life is love. The perfect love casts out all fear. You know that, right? But if you haven't experienced the full love, and I'll just put it to you in a relationship wise. If you ever got into a relationship that you're not sure if they really love you, creates all kinds of insecurities. You know the one. Who are you texting? Who just called? Who's on your Facebook? What was that on Instagram? Whose Tweety did you? Who'd you give a shout out to? See? Because insecurities will make you think that the one that you're in love with just ain't loving you back. No, I ain't even go through my notes. We'll stay right here. Right here. See, the relationship that we get into with God, if we're insecure about God, then you're going to think that God don't love you because you messed up. And then fear sets in. When fear sets in, then you realize something is that, well, maybe he don't love me. Maybe I'm supposed to be wearing a suit and a tie for church services. Maybe that's why he's not blessing me. Or maybe we're only supposed to do 3 songs and be out of here in 45 minutes. No? Or watch it. Maybe. Just maybe. He wants me to do the service in Spanish. That'd be a miracle all by itself. That ain't happening. But we begin to think like some of the things that we're doing are inadequate. Or they're not completely pleasing unto the Lord. And then we start thinking that he's taking away things from us. Or he's keeping things from us. You ever thought that way? No? No, y'all haven't, because y'all already know better. Y'all already know better. God don't do that. But how is it then that when we get into a relationship with someone, and it doesn't have to be one of those physical relationships, it's just a relationship with someone that you know, and all of a sudden you don't trust them because you can see some signs of the things of someone that hurt you in the past. And all of a sudden you label that person that they're going to do the same to you just because you see signs. You bring on that insecurity from your past and you carry it on to your now. And then you never fully enjoy the relationship that you're in. So don't you know that the trick of the enemy is to do the same thing with you in your relationship with God? To make you feel that you've messed up so bad, God don't want you no more. He don't want you. You're a mess. You're just a mess. He don't want you no more. I want you. So all of a sudden now you start thinking like, well, maybe because I messed up, you know, I cheated on my taxes and maybe that's why God is just not blessing me. Okay, so the firewood that I bought at HEB was supposed to be, you know, $15, but I told him it was a smaller stack and it was $5. Like, y'all ain't done that one. I need a small bag of ice, and you walk out with 4. So you think that God is looking at you like, you just a mess, and you're always a mess. I can't be around you no more. I don't even want you worshiping me no more. Because you're a mess. And because you're a mess, you're going to make everybody else messy because you're a mess. You know how people start thinking that way? And I'm trying to tell you, people think that way. And what happens is we think that because we messed up in an area of our life that we value and put so much more value in, that we think that we shocked God. Oh, my. I can't love them no more. And so the enemy puts in all kinds of lies. Right? Go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3. There's proof in the pudding. Genesis 3. Should I paraphrase or should you read it? Because, you know, sometimes y'all tell me, Pastor, that ain't in the Bible. My verse? All right, now. My Bible seems to be a lot more fun to begin with. So here comes Daddy. Daddy is up there in heaven, and he's looking around. He looks at this. What is that speck over there? It has no value to it. It's all kinds of chaos. Let me go see what's going on. So Daddy comes, and he looks at that speck, and he, oh, this is a good place. It needs, and then it is, light. So God is thinking, and every time he thinks, something happens. He begins to speak what it is, not what it was. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. God doesn't see you in what you were. He sees you in what you're going to be. You understand? So he saw the world that was in chaos. He comes into earth, and then he begins to speak things into existence. Turn my mind down. And what I see here is that now we get into, he creates man. He creates man. And you would think that God messed up. Would you not? He messed up because he created man. So we serve a God that knows that we're going to mess up. So he is an incomplete, not all-knowing, and not a perfect God because we messed up. You know, that's what other religions are saying about our God. Well, your God was so smart that he put man on the earth and the devil. Right? Daddy's up there like, hey, I like this. And he's got all these angels. And the one, the second in command, which is Lucifer, he thinks, you know what? I didn't do this too. I've been watching him forever. Eternity, you know, eternity, eternal. You ain't got it. Okay, forever. So he's, I can do this too. I can be just like God. So then there's a fight in heaven. Fight. See, my Bible, yours don't read that way. Mine does. Mine has the, and then it has the spit on the side. And okay, but look. So there's a war in heaven. And then God, Daddy says, you rebellious thing, you. That's how Daddy does it. He looks at his child and says, you rebellious thing. You and all your little cohorts, all your little friends, get on up out of here. I ain't got time to deal with you. I know where I'm going to put you. I know exactly where I'm going to put you. That little speck over there that's full of chaos, that's where you belong. Get on over there. Y'all don't read creation like that? I wonder why y'all don't like church. Watch this, watch this. Watch this. So man is created. From what? Dust. I know this God. I know this God. I talked about the caterpillar first. Come on, man. You're with me. You're with me. You're with me. No! No! Created man from the dust of the earth. And then the face of God came to man. But you ain't nothing but a speck of dirt till I breathe on you. Mom and Daddy didn't think about you. God had you in mind. So you don't let nobody ever tell you you were an accident, you weren't purpose, because you're purposed by God. You may think that you're nothing but a piece of dirt, but God says, I lifted you up and put you in my hand, and I breathed into you. And I placed you in paradise. Bible reads good, doesn't it? See? And just like men do. Just like men do. And when I'm saying men, that means mankind. That means you too, women.
They look around and say, I'm all by myself. Watch this. Watch. Did not go to the ground on this creation. To the heart. He had to put him to sleep. You're going to be still on this next creation. Did you get it? Did you get it? You're going to be still in this season. You ain't moving. You ain't going to do nothing because I'm about to take something from you. Pulls it out. Made Adam lay still. You ever feel like you're being still for a reason? Because something's about to be created out of you. I'm getting delivered. You feel me, baby? And then you're so still, you can't move. Can't do nothing. Be still. And all of a sudden, God reaches into your stillness and your darkness and pulls out what's inside of you to create what is needed to recreate the earth. Woo! See, y'all like my Bible better, don't you? Watch this, watch this. So then he creates woman. I got everybody going. I ain't gonna mess this one up, man. I ain't watch this one. Out of man, woman. And watch this. Watch this. The helper is not from the ground. The helper is near to your heart. That's why you can't hook up with just any joker. You gotta get hooked up with someone that comes close to your heart, that is ready to guard and protect you, that is willing to sacrifice their life for you. Because they came from the place out of you. We all looking for just anybody. Gotta come from the place of love. You ever wonder why ministry don't start off right away? Because then you begin to think it's all about you. But when you labor through it, and sometimes you go through a season of stillness, God is reaching inside of you to create greatness. We still on Genesis, man. I wonder why I can't read the whole Bible, because I get too caught up. Then he places you in the very place that he took chaos and put it in there too. Many people think, well, your God wasn't too smart. No, my God knew everything. He knew exactly what I needed to become the potential that he put inside of me. Because Adam would have never became greatness if chaos didn't enter in. We have a tendency to blame shift. I
I don't want to take responsibility. You know, God, you know, I know you put me in this garden with this woman that I was crying for, and you gave me the woman, you know, and you, from the heart. And, you know, we won. We won. But you know, God, that devil you sent down here, that serpent, what you created the trees and the fruit, and you created the woman, and you created the serpent, and you fixed this. What Adam was saying. Is that right? Adam said when he fell, right? But here's what I find that's very, 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 very interesting. Is that Adam went right along with it. Okay. Yeah. Read your Bible. He didn't tell her no. He said, he said, what's your name? Eve? Eve? What did the serpent say? We're not going to die? Well, come on with it. Let's try it. He went right along with it. Watch this. Hold on. I ain't lost my way. Y'all don't like my story. Y'all like my story. You don't like my story. I help myself. Look. Here's what happens. Here's what happens to mankind when chaos enters in. It's because of sin and disobedience that makes man leave and hide from God. We just had this beautiful moment with God. Wait, watch this. Before all of that, he says, Adam, mira papi. Papi. Look, all the animals, you name them. You name all the animals. Okay, Daddy. Okay, Daddy. I will, papi. So he names all the animals. So he's doing great. God and creation are communing. Right? Then the woman comes along that he asked for. Okay? Don't go there. I'm not going that way. Watch. Bonnie, look, see, they want to preach my sermon. No. When sin comes into your life, you will feel like you're naked because the covering of God is removed. And you try to hide from God. Many today are out in this world hiding from God because of their sin. So the trick of the enemy is to put fear in your life about God. You sinned, he's going to kill you. He's going to make you come down to my house. Hell. And all of a sudden now condemnation comes in. All this kind of rejection sets in. No, not Daddy. We were out here playing with the animals, the goats and the bears. And where'd you go? Papi, where are you? When he comes in, he blame shifts to God. Because man does never want to say, God, it was my fault. Always blame God for everything that's going on in your life. That's what he did. The woman you gave me, the serpent, he blame shifted to God, saying, this is the stuff you created. This is the stuff that made me fall. This is the whole reason why I hid from you. And we used to have walks in the park, in the garden, every day. But I heard you coming, and because of what you created, made me see things differently and made me hide from you out of fear. Halloween trick-or-treat, ghosts and goblins. We say, oh, this is one of the most demonic seasons of the year. Shut your mouth. It is not. What is the most demonic season is the season that you're away from God. When you're hiding from the God that can save you from yourself. Fear sets in. Fear will grip you and keep you from ever experiencing the communion with God. Because you think you messed up so bad. That's what the scripture says. Shortened version of it. But put yourself in that place. God told you not to, but you did. How do you feel? Say it again. That's right. You feel horrible. You feel like the poo-poo. You're stanky. Mm-hmm. And you feel like you can't be in his presence. So condemnation sits all over you and tries to keep you away from God. It makes you hide. See where the first Adam messed up? The last Adam took us out. Mm-hmm. We can mess up, but don't do it intentionally. You don't want to hear that one. In other words, oh, sin feels good for a moment, but sin leads to death. The wages of sin lead to death. The sin removes the covering. It makes you feel naked. So the trick of the enemy is to make you think because you did something, now you're no longer covered. Ask every religion out there, oh, you sin, you're going to hell. That's not what the Bible says. He died for our sins. Before we were born, because we were born, and after we're gone. All of those sins covered. So that we don't have to be judged for that sin. How is it then that the scripture talks about that he was the appropriation for the sin? But we think we have to pay the price of the sin. That's not what it's talking about. You're saying that God's going to go right back on that cross because you sinned again today. You know what? He's been crucified like six times today just with me. And you think that we're going to make it somewhere then? No. He's like, you ain't shocking me, boy. I know you. I created you. Remember, my face came into your dirt. I knew all your dirt before it was you. I knew all the dirt in your life because you came from it. But it wasn't until my breath entered you that changed your ways. But you didn't know that that potential was inside of you until I gave you my blood. And when I gave you my blood, now you have my breath and my blood. You become a new creature. A whole new creation. And because now you're my son, I've given you everything that I own. Don't live in fear. Don't live in fear. And don't blame shift on God. Yeah, I wasn't gonna drink that much, and then so what happened was like blowing the air out makes you get. Y'all look at me, Pastor. Y'all do that too well. I wouldn't know what we're saying. Because even back in the day, I knew how to worship. You had to worship God and you had to pray. I'll never do it again. God, if you take this away. Listen, we got to understand God and how much he loves us that you ain't going to throw him for a loop. Matter of fact, before you even do what you're about to do, he steps right in. Hey, Marty, don't do it. That can't be God. That can't be God. So we do it anyhow. Do it. Don't look at me like, Pastor, you a sinner. So are you. We make mistakes every single day. I'm not telling you it's okay to be a sinner. No, I'm telling you. You're going to do something. You're going to look. Wow. Done. You're going to hell. Someone cut you out. You mother bleep, 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 bleep. You're going to hell. He's like, everybody quickly wants to send you to hell because you do something wrong. I ain't going there. It's too hot. All I know is that wherever the presence of God is, there's the fullness of joy and there is liberty. And there is a restoration of his creation back unto the Father. And if you can get that realization, is you can't mess up that bad, then he's going to leave you there. He's going to show you, don't do that again, you knucklehead. Look, look, I've been trying to talk to you, but you like being around these pigs. You like eating all this slop. You like spending everything that you got. Don't you realize that I'm the Father that will never leave you, never forsake you? I come to where you're at and wait for you to come to your senses. So then when you wake up, I'm standing right where you're at. I'll clean you up. And I'll put new clothes on you. The clothing of righteousness. Because of my blood. And I'll cover you. And you will never go back to this place again. Follow me. Follow me. Know how much I love you. It's unconditional. It's not based on what you can do for me. It's how much I want to do for you. That's the love of the Father. That's the bouncer in your life. It says, this door, ain't no fear coming in. Ain't no fear coming in. Because love of the Father cast out all fear. Whatever you've been fearing and whatever you've been thinking that's got a grip on you, love is standing at the door and saying, get out. Get out. This is my child, and I fight for my child. And if fear is set in anywhere in your life, let the perfect love of God cast out all the fear. All of it, so that he can pick you up. Say, I'll stand guard as a shepherd stands at the gate, waiting for those to come back and keeping the wolves out.
Yeah, they don't want to hear this one.
Wolves only hang around the sheep pen because they're easy prey if you don't have a shepherd at the door. You know the cartoon where the one that puts on the wolf puts on that sheep's, not that one. She puts on, or he puts on that the sheep gets in there, and then the sheep dog goes in there, and they start taking off the costume. And then next thing, you're going to notice the wolf real quick because they salivate at the weak ones. They prey on the weak ones. They don't go after the ones that are close to them. Heart of the shepherd. They go after the weak ones. It's easy prey. Because the other sheep, because remember within the sheep, they're goats. Got to have goats. There's the one that had the horns. So when the wolf comes, even the sheep will attack them. You understand? You got to have goats and sheep. And if it's really healthy, you're going to have wolves on the outside looking. Who can I take? Got to. Because if it ain't healthy, they don't want what you got anyways. I ain't going to go to Taco Bell and say, give me a sirloin steak. I'll go to Taco Bell, get my taco sundae, but I ain't going to go there and get no taco and it's full of steak. I know I'm going to go to a place that has good steak. But what happens, what the wolf does, uses fear tactics. What is your greatest fear? What is your fear? Some of y'all are afraid of spiders? How about snakes? You afraid of snakes? Little ones or big ones? Well, have you been to the snake farm where they take the snakes out and they let you pet it? Did you pet it? No? Why not? They're slimy, ugly, nasty. Okay, so you touched the snake? Was it poisonous? You didn't know? What made you touch it? This is what kills the cat. You ever touched a snake? You did? Where? At school? So they brought like show and tell? Yeah? Okay. So did you pick the snake up or did the person that brought the snake pick the snake up first? Or the person that brought it picked it up and then you touched it? You did what? A tarantula? Oh, Lord Jesus. See, I don't mess with spiders. Not me. Little way. But tarantulas, the ones that have all these kind of colors and spots on it and fur, because then they start crawling on you and stuff. And then you just feel it just kind of just going up your neck. Ah! But watch this. You touched the snake because the handler picked it up. You felt safe. Now, that same snake, would you have touched it if it was in your backyard? What happened? Would you have touched the same snake that you were curious about if it was in your backyard? No. So in other words, your answer is no, I wouldn't have, but I was curious over there and I touched it over there. But in my backyard, no. Why? Because in controlled environments, you don't have fear. But when it's not in controlled environments, fear sets in. When you're around God that is in control, you will be in the presence of Daddy and you will have no fear. Even the most poisonous snake can look at you in the eye. Daddy will say no and pick it up before it strikes and move the danger away from you. But if you don't listen and stick your hand out there where it don't belong, put your hand out there, girl. Put your hand out there. Put it out there. Touch a snake? No? I'm with you, girl, not me either. I don't even like them on the other side of the glass. They look at me, I'm like, oh, Lord. This bionic snake is going to come right through the glass. Don't like it. Watch this. I'm coming home from church one night, and Hannah and Josh and my wife, they go up the stairs and up to the porch, and they're in. But me, I get my bag, I close everything, and I'm getting ready to go. I get my phone from the car, and I'm getting ready to walk up the same stairs that they just walked up. Thank God. Thank God that my phone had a little light I just accidentally pressed. It was a big snake. On the first step, I went, ah! And the snake looked at me like, you ain't scaring me for nothing. So what do? I get a rock. Got a rock. Like the rock is going to do anything. And I'm not talking a boulder. I got a little rock like, it didn't move, but it was alive. It coiled. I was like, oh. I was dead. They knew nothing. They were in the house making egg sandwiches. You don't have to church egg sandwiches for everybody. They're not even wondering where I'm at. Shoo! Threw three rocks at it. Wouldn't even move, Daniel. So now I go back to the car and I turn on my lights, and this thing's about this big. I ain't lying. I'm right in front of the cross. And so I get up closer to see if it's poisonous. Like, I really know. It's like by where you're sitting, right? And I'm coming out of my car. My car's parked in, and the lights are right, so I can see it. So I'm looking like, does it have a rattler? That's the only way I know. If it's a rattlesnake, I ain't going nowhere near it. I'm calling my cat, Smokey! Smokey! She'd have died. And looking, so no rattler. I'm thinking, okay, it must be one of those gardener snakes or whatever, so it can't be poisonous. But I hate snakes. So then it starts coming down the stairs like, and I'm looking at this thing, and then it goes into, right next to my stairs, there's another little planter box right there. So it goes in there. I say, I'm going inside. And then I just happen to keep looking, and it goes under and inside my garage. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can you imagine my wife walking into the garage? So what do I got to do? I got to open the garage and find this thing. Say it again, sir. Wondering what took me so long. Ain't nobody come to check. They just wondering. Eating the egg sandwich that was made for me. I was so scared. I was like, I'm going to find the nearest thing. I'm going to beat the crap out of this thing. I'm going to beat it till it's... And it moved. At this point, I don't know what to do. I hate snakes. Josh, do you remember that weed eater we had just bought? And I didn't throw the box away. It went in the box. So I'm like, oh, it's in the box. It's in the box. It's in the box. So I get over there, and then I kick the box. This side opened up. And I took him. I was so scared. So it starts coming out that end. Like, oh my God. I don't know what to do at this point. I'm looking. It can't go towards the house because if it goes anywhere past this, it's going to get into boxes and I'll never get it out. So I got so brave by her. I got so brave.
In the name of Jesus, I have authority over you. Get out.
The head went right back in the box. Ain't a lie. Went in the box. I kicked that box. Boom.
It gave me enough time to get it out. When it went out of the garage because it's right there by the front. I kicked that box. It tumbled a little bit. And then the snake went out.
Went into the bushes. I couldn't get to it.
I was scared. Ah, oh, mira tú. It was right there. Kill it, and then I got to deal with it. No, get out of here. So then, it's gone. I mean, sweating.
Oh my God. What have you been doing? What's going on? What's happening?
There was a snake. Y'all walked right over it. What? They walked right over it. Who has to find it? Me. And I'm going to Africa. They got camel spiders. Fear gripped me. Watch this. Oh, I get messages out of anything. Fear kept me from entering in. Fear gripped me from getting to the place where I belong. Fear gripped me outside of the closest thing to my destiny. And it wasn't even poisonous. It wasn't little. For anybody else, they probably would have picked it up. A garden snake ain't going to do nothing to you. For me, that was a king cobra. I was not about to pick it up, nor touch it, nor kill it, because then I had to deal with the killing and then picking up and cleaning. So I let the cat out. Go get it, Smokey. Smokey didn't even go downstairs. Fear kept me from getting in. Fear. Something that wouldn't have harmed me kept me from getting in. Has fear gripped you? That's the trick of the enemy from keeping you to getting to closer to your destiny. But he is the bouncer at the door, getting fear out of you. If you got fear in your life, you got any kind of fear. I got fear whether or not my job's going to end. I got fear not if I'm going to find a job. I got fear if I'm going to stay in this relationship. I got fear whether or not I'm going to be able to make it home tonight because I didn't put gas before I came, and I've been praying all the way when I got here. But I know if I don't make it across the street, I ain't going to have no gas. I ain't got no gas can. But you don't know how much I had. You know, I had $10 in my pocket, but I wanted to save it until afterwards in case I go get me a bean and cheese taco. But the thing is, I didn't do it beforehand because I was already running late to church, and I didn't want pastor to see me when I came in late to church. I got fear. Whatever fear you got, give it to God. Give it to God. If you don't give it to God, it'll keep you from entering in to your destiny. Now is your time to give it to God. You got fear? Y'all should all be saying, yeah, we all have it. We all have something we're afraid of. Spider. Snake. Scared of what? Smoke? My cat, Smokey? I'm with you, girl. Me too. That's my cat. Scared of not experiencing what God wants us to experience. Wow. I apologize. It's before news. Before the news. I said it. I called it. Of not having enough ribs.
creation to create. I want you to think about it. On your envelope, I want you to write no fear. No fear. No fear. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm going to just say a couple of quick announcements as you're getting your tithes and offerings ready. Tomorrow night is home groups with Eric and Carla. Their address is 9242 Ridge Breeze. It's on our website. You saw it on the overhead. And it's going to start at 7 o'clock tomorrow. These home groups are going to be once a month with them until they're ready to go into, you know, twice a month. And we'll go from there. We'll take it as we grow. I believe that the home group experiences is going to be an experience for a lot of people in different areas of the city. So if you can make it out there, make it out there. Bring someone that does not come to this church. Bring them so they can experience God in a whole different way. Fellowship. Amen. This Saturday is Iron Sharpens Iron. It's the men's group at 10 a.m. at the Elizon Courts Community Center. We will be having our Bible study there. We'll be having our fellowship there. We'll be having coffee and donuts and all the goodies. We'll meet there. They're already starting to advertise for us of getting people to come on out that we'll be there. And then on November 8th will be the Women's Heart to Heart group that will meet at Miss Sylvia's house at 9:30 on November 8th. And that's on the website, 6312 Lock Haven in Boverde, Texas. It's not real far. It's off of 1604. November 15th is Project 61. Project 61 is what we used to call SWAT. It's our evangelism outreach is what we're doing, but we're reaching out to those that are in need there in the Elizon Courts area. So we will be out there at the family event. Come on out. Thanksgiving, on actual Thanksgiving Day, we're doing our Thanksgiving dinner giveaway to the homeless. I feel that what we need to do is do exactly what they need as a dinner before we go out and do what we're going to do. If we can just get things cooked, ready, prepared, and we'll take them out there that morning before you get with your families. So for details, see Pastor Inez and Cherie so we can get all that stuff together and make that happen. Let's be a blessing to the city. Amen. I ask you for you guys to keep us in prayer. I know that a lot of things have transpired these past couple of months, and I know that God is getting ready to do something great within the city. I sensed a shift. I think I mentioned this back about 2 months ago. A shift was taking place. There was a wind. There was a sound. There was something shifting. I know we're getting ready to come into an election that is very pivotal for Texas, the governor's race. But I want you, if you're going to vote, which you should vote, is pray and vote your conviction. Your conviction, what God is leading you to pray for and to vote for. Amen. The body of Christ needs to stay in alignment with God. Bring holiness back to the church and bring its power, his power, back into the church. But we should be demonstrating the power of God, not just unto salvation, but unto signs, wonders, healings, miracles, and deliverances. Amen. If we're in alignment with his word, in alignment with God, we shall see these signs following after those. Amen. So I encourage you, in these next couple of weeks before we leave to Africa on November 10th, I want you guys to be prayed up. Fast. As you call us on a fast. No, I'm telling you, go to God and ask him what kind of fast you should do. For how long he wants you to. If it's just fasting, breakfast, you're not going to eat breakfast, then that's it. Maybe he's going to tell you, don't eat breakfast and lunch. Or maybe he's going to tell you, get off of your phone. Let God speak to you. When you deny yourself and you sacrifice things of yourself, clarity comes in. So much clarity, direction, and purpose is revealed. So I think it's very vital that we do that, and I'm asking you please to go before the Lord and ask him. what can we do? Amen. Eric, you guys need anything for tomorrow? You guys ready for us? All right, because we're going to bring down the house, man. Bring down the house. All right, guys, you have your envelopes ready for your tithe? All right. Lift them up before the Lord. Father, I just thank you right now as we give this wave offering unto you. I thank you, Lord, that our harvest is plentiful, but we are the workers in this last day harvest, Lord. I thank you we are the workers that bring in a remnant of people that will beget more workers, Lord. I thank you that we begin to multiply ourselves and others, that they can go out and do the same work that we're doing, Father. Reaching the city, Lord, reaching the lost, touching those in the church, empowering those in the church, and, Father, releasing them out into the cities. Father, I just thank you in advance for what you're doing. I thank you for the blessing of your word, Father. And I thank you, God, that we can have a time in your presence, Lord, a refreshing, a refilling, and a rejuvenation, Father. I just thank you. I thank you that you're reinstilling hope once again to the body of Christ. And I thank you, God, for your demonstration of your love and your power for your people. So, Father, we give this tithe unto you, and I thank you that your word states that, Lord, if we bring all of our tithes into the storehouse, that you will rebuke the devourer for their sake. That if we test you in this very word, Father, that you will open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there's not enough room to contain it. But I thank you for the preparation. I thank you for the wisdom and the knowledge to prepare for what you have in store for us. So, Father, I thank you in advance, and we receive your blessing today. As we give unto you, we give with a cheerful heart, not out of pressure, but out of pleasing love unto you. Receive it well, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. You may bless the Lord. God bless you. We'll see you on Thursday at Eric's house. Then we'll see you on Saturday. And then we'll see you on Sunday. God bless you guys.